show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for heroes. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me.
To love yourself is the greatest love of all. Yes. The children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Good evening, and welcome to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block, focusing on the youth. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host, and I am happy and so glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Block by Block. If you don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. It's we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge our God with a scripture and a prayer, and then we will get right to it. So I'm going to introduce our host and our hostesses, and we have our host, Ms. Jacqueline Vandegrift, who's going to do our scripture, and we have Ms. Rebecca Johnson, who's going to give us a prayer. We have Ms. Callie Pierce with all her perspectives, and we have our junior host, Jacob Ribrod, and our young adult host, Shania Cox, and our very own Wrap It Up, Bring Up the Rear with a Biblical Perspective, the awesome Pastor O from Runner for Christ Ministries. Okay? So we're going to have our scripture with Ms. Jacqueline.
Well, good evening. Good evening, Ms. Kathy Clyburn. Good evening, fellow hosts and hostess. And good evening, audience. Good evening, Pastor. I'm going to read a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself and measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a specific function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord and the blessings of the reader, hearers, and doers of his wisdom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Jacqueline Vandegrift. I really love that scripture. I am Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to open us up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and love you and thank you. We are thankful to serve a God who knows all things. We thank you for waking us up again today and for being our sun and our shield. We thank you for all the work you have already done. We thank you for wise counselors and godly friends, lessons learned, and for answered prayers. We thank you for every kindness, for tears of laughter, for all our time, talents, and treasure, and for victories over spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank you for your patience with us as we learn and grow and fall short every day. Thank you for every hand that helps the production of this show. We thank you for each person listening or participating in Bring Back the Family tonight. We thank you that we don't have to get out in the snow to broadcast this show. We thank you for opportunities to guide every child that crosses our paths. We acknowledge that we can't even imagine the great plans you have for them. We ask that you show us how to provide all the children with the support and resources they need. We ask that you help each of us to know how we can help on our blocks. And since we can do nothing without you, we ask that you give us the wisdom to do your will in bringing back the family. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca, and thank you, Sister Jackie. You guys are awesome. Awesome. Okay, so bring back the family. Bring back the family is a call for us to wake up, to get engaged, to make a difference. It's time for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who is responsible and who is willing to take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and just get to it? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Who is going to be in charge of the next chapter, passing the torch, running the race, doing great things because we prepared them? We can do this. Did our parents do it for us? Were they focused? Did they spend quality time so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community and others around us? Huh? Picture all that. Just picture it as young people and us being adults now, picturing your young people not having to worry about them as they grow up, going out in the community, terrorizing, and making a bad name for themselves and their families, okay? Messing up that family name. Well, so what are we going to make up in our minds to do? So bring back the family. Bring back the family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this beautiful world wherever they go. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation as parents and community comes from me and from you. Someone did it for us, so we need to do it for them. Okay? So what do we propose to do? What do Bring Back the Families propose to do? We propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Okay? And it's just simply giving back. Giving back more than what we had, more whatever we had, because it's a different day and time now and a different generational mindset, and we just have to meet them where they are. You have to meet them where they are and give them what it is that they need to make it. We know what we need to make it, so we should be able to show them what it is that they need, okay, and give them what they need so that they can make it. And so some of those things include just being a good mentor, being a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by, okay? Making sure they're reading books, just giving them time, starting a book club, doing a career fair, because there's so many careers out there and jobs and things that they can do, that they can make money legally, okay? They need a career. They need to know how to be able to take care of themselves, raise a family. It's a lot of things that they don't know that we holding back that we don't tell them. We have to give them a head start like we had, okay? A book club, a career fair, educational awareness, showing love and kindness and concern, giving a hug, giving some positive reinforcement, you know, just the things that they need to just keep them encouraged. And we're going to talk about today what it means to be well-rounded and to have well-rounded young people. What are the important life facts that we should be sharing with our youth and our young people? These are important questions we should be asking ourselves, and we'll be discussing on Bringing Back the Family today, so our youth can be on a solid footing and not lost when they try to explore outside of the home-based world and are not informed about the simple things in life that they need to carry them through and to move forward, okay? We do want them to grow and flourish, don't we? So let's talk about what we needed to know for life help, and no one told us, the things that no one told us and what we needed that we might can share with them, okay, so that we can make sure that the next generation, that their planet, that their feet are planted on a good solid foundation so that they can take care of self and are able to make a difference in this world, okay? It's time. it's takeover time for the next generation of youth. They will be sitting in our seats. They'll be sitting where we're sitting now. Long after we're gone, they're going to be sitting here. And we have to know that they're going to be all right, okay? So if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So let's give our kids, our children, our youth a vision that don't have a vision. Give them something to see, okay? Oh, I looked up, you know, well-roundedness. And so being well-rounded is defined as being engaged in different kinds of extracurricular academic and social activities, just exploring lots of different arenas. It's not about just things that you know, only pursuing activities that you already like or you have a high aptitude for. It's about exploring all different areas and avenues, you know, being well-rounded, just knowing a lot of things about a lot of different things. You know, or you get an education, you get all your regular courses like, you know, course activities and programming and subjects such as English and reading, language, art, writing. Those are main subjects. And so it's important to have extracurricular activities, knowing how to study for exams, knowing how to complete your homework, how to do an essay, just being involved in a lot of different things, being involved in clubs, being involved in study groups and volunteering, you know, just being outgoing. Just basically being an outgoing person, being able to communicate and have a good attitude, have a good personality, just being well-rounded. Like a round circle that's round and perfect, well-rounded. Knowing a variety of things, having a variety of experiences and abilities and being fully developed in your personality and able to get along with any and everybody. Can you imagine that? Okay. Let me see what else it says. Well-rounded, you have skills, knowledge and skills in many different areas rather than just being an expert in one thing. And, you know, one person that I know was an expert in a lot of things and just was well-rounded is John McFaul. Everybody, a lot of people know him. He was just, like, well-rounded in so many things. He was a reader, and if you ask him a question about something, he just knew everything about everything that was going on in the whole world, even what was in the ocean, and was even what was in the ocean and the whales and, you know, things that maybe some people don't even think about. So you could go and have a conversation with a person, and they just know everything. They got an answer for everything. That's being well-rounded. And so he was one person that I loved to talk to and could hold my attention for hours and hours and hours and other people's attention for hours and hours and hours with all of the knowledge that he knew, being able to read, you know, reading about these things and being well-traveled, not afraid to go places, not afraid to go outside your community and travel and go to other countries and other worlds and things like that. And, you know, it's just a lot of benefits in that. It makes you able to, you know, obtain jobs easily because you know what you're doing. You go to, you know, you send your kids to good schools to get them prepared. You know, colleges want people that are well-rounded, okay? They want people, students that are well-rounded. Let's see. Okay, and I looked up, it said it had 10 ways to become a well-rounded person. It says to be comfortable with promoting yourself, develop people skills, evaluate yourself, learn continually, improve your communication skills, be open to new experiences, find a focus in your life, practice listening skills, and do research. Be more active. Do research, and that requires a lot of reading. If you want to know something about something, look it up. So who we're talking about the youth. And so these things that I'm talking about, so these are things that we need to tell our kids and to be able to help them to be well-rounded, to help them to be able to go out into the world and be the best that they can be. Be the greatest that they can be, okay? They have some tips on how you raise a well-rounded child. And these are things that we've talked about before. A lot of encouragement. It says establish a solid support system. Children need to feel like they have a solid support system at home that makes them feel both confident and loved. And that's just spending time with them, making sure they get to their appointments, making sure they get to their practices, making sure they have tours, making sure that their grades are good, making sure you're checking on them. You go into the school and having a relationship with their teachers and their counselors, and everybody know you there, and they know that you're going to check on them. They know that you're going to check on your child, and you're going to be checking on the teachers too. And so when your kids know that and they feel that love, and it make that encourages them to want to be better, okay? Encourage them to be outgoing. Make sure that they're involved in different activities, you know. Start a book club and take them and make sure they're reading. Give them some assignments to do out of those books. And a lot of kids right now don't even get homework assignments coming home. And you should wonder why they don't get homework, okay? Encourage their curiosity, okay? Encourage it. Don't shy away from things and tell them to stop doing it. If they're being curious about something, let them be curious, and then because that might be part of their gifts and talents. Encourage them to learn new skills. They can go roller skating. They could go swimming. They could take karate. so many things that they could do. They can volunteer. Okay? They can learn sign language. So those are different extracurriculum activities that, you know, that'll help in their future. Praise them. Praise them. Have some positive affirmations for them so that it helps with their self-esteem. You know, and they'll want to do well. They'll want to do better. They'll continue to do well so they can keep getting praise, okay, and let you know that you appreciate them and you're proud of them. Make time for reading. Make time for reading. Make the environment that they're in friendly and bright and have nice, exciting books for them, pictures, maybe a little corner or a little room in the house that's just there for reading. And you have to teach them to love it, to love reading. Take them to the library. Take them to the library so that they love to go. If you take them young, they'll get used to going there. It'll be a place that they can love to go. Get used to it. Okay? And it says don't push them too hard. Don't push them too hard because their gifts and talents will, this says that they're important, equally important, because it gives them confidence they need, that they're going to need for when they're adults. That, you know, not push them too hard. So you might have something that you want your kids to do. If they're really not interested in it, don't make them do it. Their gifts and talents, if you watch them enough, they'll show you what they love, what their gifts and talents are. And those are the things that you, you know, encourage and push them to do. Okay? Yeah. And, you know, what is it, some of the things that we don't tell our youth that we should be telling them? Like, just simple things that, you know, we tell our kids, give them things that they're going to say later in life. Like, now I remember, you know, all the things that my parents used to say, just little tips and hints, you know, like, what you do in the dark going to show in the light, you know. So they can figure out what that means, and they're going to remember that later. You know, kill people with kindness. Treat people kind. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Things like that. Take care of your health. Take care of your body. You know, watch, you know, what you put in your body. If we never tell them, they'll never even think about it. And somebody else will tell them, well, yeah, let's try this. Well, I remember my parents told me not to try that, not to do this, and not to do that. So our kids listen when we think they're not listening, but they're listening. So we have to tell them and to give them something to go on in their life, or else the world will show them. Okay? The world will show them and tell them all the tidbits that they need to know. Laugh all the time. Have some laughter. Find something good to laugh about every day. As they say, laughter is good for the heart. Be generous. Give to others. Believe in God. Pray continuously and never lose hope in yourself. Have faith that you will live the life you want. Okay? Have faith. Trust in God. Be your guide. Okay? Stay away from negative people. Mm-hmm. Stay away from negative people. People that try to lower or attack your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. You should set goals as a student in your life and goal statements and not girl statements. and vice versa. Always listen to your parents because they never keep an intention to hurt you. Work hard in your early days. Work hard and smart early, because when you get older, you're not going to want to, you know, work as much and save as much money as you can early in life. Start early saving. Those are some of the things that we really need to tell our kids about money. Talk to them about money and what money, what they should be doing with money. And it's just a certain time, you know, of age. Like when you from 0 to 1, you're doing something at that age. From 5 to 10, you're doing something at that age. And so when you get to be a teenager or a young adult in your 19s or 20s, 18s, starting at 18, right then you should be thinking about retirement. Because it goes so fast. And so they're going to need money for retirement. And if they don't start saving early, and, you know, because we don't teach our kids that not much, that if you don't save early, save now for later. There's a certain amount of money you have to have saved up to cover all your bills for a certain amount of time, like 6 months or something like that, of money saved up just to cover your bills for emergencies. Simple things like that that we don't tell our young folk, that we don't sit down. We need to sit down and talk to them one-on-one. Have a little family conversation. Every chance we get, just tell them and let them know the things that they need to know. And money is a big deal. It is. You know, you might want to buy a home one day. You want to have a nice, peaceful, quiet life. You know, you want to work early. Work early. Go to school. Get your education. You know, it's a step to all of this. It's a pathway to it. And so if you want to have a good, quiet, peaceful life, follow that path. But we have to give them a path to follow. Okay? What you got? You guys out there, come on in. Mic's open. Talk to me. Yeah, I got a lot.
I like those points you made. Like, stay studious all your life. Keep learning. These are things that I could have things I would have liked to know, that when school is over, you still need your study habits. You still need to stay curious and to keep learning. And I like what you said about watch what you put in your body and get enough sleep, because it's medicine. But this, I made a list of things I wish someone would have told me when I was a young person, like keep your conversation free of complaints and criticism and condemnation and comparison and gossip. And when you do that, you won't have much else to say. There's not much left. Laughing, edifying people, praising God. But mostly you're going to be quiet if you don't have complaints or criticism or condemnation or comparison or gossip in your mouth. And then another thing is, life is an open book test. All the answers are in the Bible. When you open his book, he opens his mouth. And then I would have loved somebody to tell me that it would be beneficial to have read the whole Bible before you even think about getting married. It's good for you to look in there to see what love looks like. So you can know love when you see it. Also, to make sure to talk to God before you make any decisions, and certainly before you get married. And ask the Lord if this is the person that he intended for you, and wait for him to answer before you make a move. Learn how to tell people that you are waiting on God for an answer. Also, that words have power, and you can snare yourself with the words that you speak. also know that God is the source of all your time and talent and treasure, that everything you have came from him, and that he loves each person deeply, and no one is better than anyone else. I just learned that. I used to think that saved people were better than unsaved. And so that would have changed my whole perspective as a young person, to know that we're all equal and we all need to be treated with kindness. Also, don't compare yourself and your situation or your finances with anybody else. You are an individual completely, like of all the people who were born and already died and all the people who are still alive, you are uniquely made. And every person has something to teach you, either what to do or what not to do. And also to be grateful, to list several things every day that you're grateful for, and think about if you woke up tomorrow with only the things that you were thankful for today, what would you have? And also to learn to stand alone, to be comfortable being a peculiar person. And don't conform to the pattern of the world. Like, if they're doing it in the world, that's probably exactly the opposite thing that you want to do, to be wise. And that is most of my list.
Those are very important things. Yeah, right. I was going to say something about one, but I can't remember which one it was. All right. Miss Jackie, you out there, Miss Lady? You ready for you to get something for us today? Let me see if anybody needs you could just press one, and come in and talk when I open your mic if anybody want to have a comment after. Okay, Miss Jackie, hi.
Hi there. How are you? Okay.
Wonderful.
I was listening to all of these great comments on the culture, social culture of our youth.
Hi, how are you? Hello?
Yes, hello?
Hi.
Nigger, fuck you fake people.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, you know, the sad part about it is that whenever you're doing something right and you're trying to work with something positive about our children, we always have some people that have lack character. So, you know, please disregard people that think and act like that, because we're trying to do something positive here. And I'm listening to all of the great things that was being said about our youth and some of the things, because you know what? Things have changed and we need a new blueprint. And because a lot of social activities, people had a system before COVID, and a lot of things that they had in place for the youth, they're not there now. So we have to change with the times. So that means that we have to start opening up, and like both of you said, that one is a business. Raising children is a business. And to get them well-rounded
First of all, number one, we need to teach them how to understand the word. That's a part of being well-rounded. That way, those two little pretty things on the side of your face, that type of negativity will not penetrate, because the loudest voice in your ear will be the word.
Mm-hmm.
So once we set that foundation, and I was talking to Miss Kathy earlier, and I said that when we were growing up, you know, we had to read a chapter out of Proverbs. My father would have us to read, and we would read Proverbs because he said, if you learn Proverbs, you'll be able to learn how to deal with the world. So much for that, because time is short. And I was looking at some things that some of the cultivation things that our children need, not only our children, some of the people that are still in the workforce. You need a language. You need other than your present language. You need to be able to be fluent at a level. They said that our youth need three languages, three languages including English. They need to know three languages because they are competing with the world, and they have to know how to be intellectual and understand what somebody is saying. And I liked what Miss Kathy had to say about the passion, noticing, and this is something she has been saying for years, that watch your child and see what their interests are. If they are flipping and jumping, put them in gymnastics. If they like to sing, put them in choir, put them in music. There are certain things that you can do right now, you know, and a lot of times it takes a little research, but the Michigan State University, Michigan State University had a music center right there on Woodward, right downtown. And if a person with low income, they can fill out an application that they pay something like for the year $20. And after all, they had grants that picked up and they would teach your child even from, I think, the age of, it might be younger than four. I'm not sure. But they had little bitty people learning different styles of music, and they also had it for adults also to learn how to play instruments and piano, horns, or different things. So let's search for activities for you. Sometimes all the child needs is your time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're working on that time, but is there a support group, somebody in the family that can make sure your child get there and learn? And music is another language also, okay? Now, so I was looking at that, and I took a few notes. Life skills, I think, Ms. Kathy, you addressed the life skills, and but we want to be able to give our children a fighting chance. And and we talked about those two little things on the side of your head, your ears. Whoever has the loudest voice is the impact on your child's life. So let's start addressing our children on a positive note and change a negative. Maybe they are naughty that day. Well, ask them, what is the solution on correcting your own behavior? Let them start being decision makers.
if you had to give advice on the actions you just demonstrated, what would your resolution be? And let them let them have a communication with you how they would solve that problem. And those are skills, you know. And I was listening to someone, and they were saying that, you know, when you volunteer in churches, those are life skills. Those mm-hmm. are things that you can put on your resume, because you're learning how to communicate with people. You're learning how to be a team player. So those were some of the notes of, so transforming your kid's life. That's a touchy situation, but we have to do it, transforming whatever their passion is and start focusing on that passion. If their passion, it's like, you know, a lot of kids like to play games. Okay, but if you like to play games, well, this here, they have children college. Well, listen, let's get involved over here. This goes along with that, if that's your passion. And if they might not say they want to do that, well, then that's not your passion, so we're going to limit your time on the game if you don't want to develop those skills. So sometimes this is just my little take on this and some of the things that I kind of looked up because, you know, we're living in a different time and a different year, and I think that we all can learn from it, but the most important is listening and communicating with our children and getting to know them and being leaders for them. I like the way Miss Kathy, how she relates with the youth, and she has a natural gift of being able to get them to respond to her, and they really, really are very dedicated to her. As far as connecting, and that's a natural gift. So that's my take mm-hmm. on things. Miss Kathy, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Thank you, Miss Jackie. I've learned so much from you because you work with the youth a lot and have been such a good teacher for a lot of professionals that are helping, you know, some that are helping us with our cats kids and with the book club. So, you know, and that's what it's all about, being able to teach one, reach one, pull somebody up, make sure that somebody else have what they need. You know, I always tell my kids, my nieces and nephews, that, you know, we spent all this time with them. Make sure when you get what you need, help somebody else get what they need, you know. Help somebody else get what they need. So I hope that they're out there doing that. They are being good, productive citizens, and I'm glad about that. But it took a lot of our time and a lot of our time out of our own lives to take the time to sit down and talk to them, love them, hug them, encourage them. Be it their activities, encourage, you know, everything that they do, give them rewards for all of their efforts and their, you know, and mostly all of that is just a big bundle when you put it all together. It's just love and concern. It's just love. That's all it is. Just giving your time to others is just basically love. And so when you give these kids love, then they could go through life, you know, happy. They don't have to worry about anything. They don't have to worry about what's going on at home. When they come home, they have a meal. They have a bed to sleep in. They have a roof over their head. The bills are paid. You know, life is going good. They don't see a lot of
lot of negative going on. So what should they be doing? They should be focused on what they need to do to get what they need, because you're taking time out to give them your time. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have to let these young people know, that, okay, we're taking time out to give you our time so that you can be the best that you could be, the best. Okay. 6695, did you have something that you want to say?
Hey, Kit.
Well, hey. How you doing there? That's Terrence. Hello, Mr. Terrence.
I'm good.
Or Pastor Terrence.
How are you?
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Good to hear you.
You know, while I was listening to you, you were talking about something that I will be talking about a little bit when I preach tomorrow.
Okay, good.
The thing that really came to mind while I was listening to you is I am going to be starting an empowerment ministry in the spring for the youth through Running for Christ Ministries. Now, I'm still working out the details, but I'm still working on a little bit of the announcement. I got most of it done, but I'm still trying to figure out in my head what type of schedule, how the ministry is going to flow. Because mm-hmm. our youth definitely need empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our youth need a lot of empowerment today. And it honestly breaks my heart to see our youth losing their passion for what they're called to do for God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So on Christmas Eve last year, it wasn't on Christmas Eve. It was on Sunday, November the 12th, while I was in church listening to Pastor Davis preach a message called Renewed. I honestly heard the Holy Spirit tell me, you need to start an empowerment ministry for the youth. So, and I will, but I'm still trying to mentally get it together. But our youth really need lots of spiritual empowerment, because
mm-hmm.
whether our youth know it or not, but our youth are broken. And that's the reason why the devil don't want our youth to succeed. He doesn't want any of us to succeed. He definitely doesn't want our youth to flourish like God wants them to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good. Empowerment. I like
yeah.
that word. Uh huh.
Yeah.
And that's what I youth need. They need to be empowered to know that
yeah.
they are. You know, they are powerful. They are.
Yeah. And. the name of the ministry is going to be Share Your Heart Ministries. Cause Share Your Heart Ministries. Because the reason why our youth are going down the road that they're going down is because they might not have anybody in their life to empower them spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I wanted to say. And that's what came to mind when you said well-roundedness.
Mm-hmm.
If our youth are not empowered and encouraged spiritually, they're not going to be successful in the secular world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's getting back to it, because share your heart, and because is no love being shown?
No,
there's no love. So they need to know what their heart is about.
Yep.
Right. Mhm. I like that. Share your heart.
So I'm still trying to get it together in my head, but I've got it. Mm-hmm. I've got the announcement written down on paper, but mm-hmm. I'm still trying to get the ministry together in my head. But it's going to be, because anything that the Lord gives you to do is awesome.
Mhm. Mhm.
That's the whole reason why our youth are, I don't want to say acting the way they are today, mm-hmm. but that's mm-hmm. the whole reason why the youth are walking the way they are, because their spirits mm-hmm. are not empowered spiritually.
Because
mm-hmm. they might have been around negative people all their life.
Right. Yeah. You know, when we have people come to our churches, you know, we need to make sure that they feel comfortable. We need to make sure that we're showing love, because sometimes you know, people coming to your churches, and if you're not feeling, you know, that love, and you might be getting the side eye or something, and you're not feeling love, they're not feeling, you know, feeling comfortable. We got to make sure when they come in those doors that they come in to stay.
Yeah.
We got to find out what's going on with them, if they're all right, you know, what they need. And we don't see people after a while. We need to call and make sure that they're okay. Have a genuine concern for people. Mm-hmm.
And what you just said about coming, going to a church, they mm-hmm. got to go. If they don't go to a church where they're not empowered spiritually,
mm-hmm.
they are never going to grow their faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
They're never going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the key is the atmosphere that they're in. The mm-hmm. atmosphere has to change.
Right.
And we've got to be the ones to do it. So I will be working on that ministry.
Well, we can't wait. I love that name, that title, Share Your Heart. That's getting right back to the heart of things, you know, bringing that, mm-hmm. learning what the heart is really about. I mean, that's the lifeline right there, the heart.
Yeah.
bringing that heart.
So,
share your heart. Okay. Well, thank
yeah.
you, Terrence, Pastor Terrence.
You
Can't
are welcome. Thank
that
you.
That is empowerment ministry, empowerment. That's a powerful word, empowerment. Yeah, it's going to empower us.
Yeah.
And like we've been talking about being well-rounded. Like you said, get them in all these different extracurriculum activities, and that'll be something else that they could get into, you know, for volunteering and for learning. And it says make it a habit of reading books regularly, so you could stay sharp in your mind and be that'll help you be well rounded when you read,
and
you can grow.
And it's not going to be in January or February because it's cold. I want to do it in the springtime because I want to do it where the youth can get outside and be active and not be stuck inside.
Right.
So I will be working on that. It's coming. I'll be working on it.
Okay. Look forward to that. We're going to hopefully it'll just be, you know, so many things. People know they get to doing things on their block and trying to help the youth on their block. And they can start doing different programs and taking these kids to different activities and things. Because it's good to have these different things under your belt. Piano lessons, like Ms. Jackie said, music, sign language, learning different languages. There's so many things that our kids can learn that'll make them and help them well-rounded. They'll be very more employable. Just keeping them busy. Karate, football, basketball, soccer. They have so many things to keep them busy, keep them active. And so just being wanting well-rounded kids and those responsibilities, and it's a sacrifice from the parents. Come on, Jackie and Rebecca, it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice from the parents. It's a sacrifice from the aunts, the uncles. It's a sacrifice from everybody that, you know, that have kids around them. It's a sacrifice. And so, like they said, they're not going to be babies for long. And we have to put that time in now. Because they're not going to be babies long. They're going to grow up and they're going to be adults. Like I say, they're going to be in the seats that we're sitting in now. They're going to be in these seats. We're going to be long gone. They're going to be sitting in these seats. But we have to bring them up to where they're supposed to be so that they can be successful. We can go on and we can know that we did the best we can and that we know that we did bring somebody up that's going to help somebody else. Keep this thing moving. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the song. We're going to keep on rolling. One thing I know for sure. I heard that song somewhere. Okay. So thank you, Terrence. We look forward to that. Parents, it's our responsibility to keep these kids busy, to get, you know, something going on our block, to do something for the next, for mankind, do something for the next generation to make sure that they have what they need. That's all we want. That's all we asking. That's it. Everybody, what they say, reach one and teach one. And so extracurriculum activities is essential to have a well-rounded student. A well-rounded child, a well-rounded adult. Okay? Good lesson. Thank you, Terrence. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Miss Rebecca. You guys have anything else? Let's see. Okay.
No, I just thought of one thing. And I think we touched on it, but to have a secular education as well as a spiritual education would help the well-roundedness to be a whole circle.
Mm-hmm.
The whole circle, that's right. Both. You need both. They go hand in hand. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. And so that's easy. That's easy. Make sure they get their schoolwork and make sure they go to church and make sure they go to Bible study. And like you said, make sure they read that Bible at least one time. It's a book. It's a book. Mm-hmm. A self-help book. They need a guide.
Well, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people, you know, you can go right on your phone
mm-hmm.
and they have it audio. They can listen
to
every, in the Bible, audio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes the start before, because putting your blueprint together with young people that has not been reading 20 minutes a day,
mm-hmm.
they're not actually ready for that 100%. So take them to the audio, you know, they
mm-hmm.
go through Proverbs, you know, every evening, just do a chapter, audio chapter of the word. And then after a while, they'll start saying, you could ease the book, the Bible in and say, hey, let's take turns reading. You know,
mm-hmm.
let's listen to an audio and let's read a chapter, verse,
mm-hmm.
okay? Off and on, switch
mm-hmm.
it up. That's good from somewhere. Because everybody, sometimes people can get overwhelmed. What do they do when the parents get overwhelmed from everyday hectic life and then all of these activities, you got more than one child and you're overwhelmed?
Mm.
That's
yeah.
when you have to sit down into the school year in the summer, and you have to plan for school. You have 180 days. You have to start putting a plan together, a schedule where you're not overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, we're coming up in March. March is the time that you want to get your kids enrolled in summer activities.
Mm-hmm.
Those spots fill up in March. Down at the African Museum, they have a course every summer. And then during the Easter break, they have courses down there where they interact with young people and they have activities, they learn. They do that during the Easter break, and also they do it during the summer. So it's time
mm-hmm.
to register your kids for those programs, and I do believe those are free, unless they change the things, but I know they used
mm-hmm.
to be free. I think that over at the Science Museum, they have free courses over there for young people. So, you know, let's start looking
mm-hmm.
at, and one of your nieces always mentioned DAPSAC.
Mm-hmm.
DAPSAC has things that where children with like-minded children,
mm-hmm.
And when your child is in something and they have an interest with kids that's like-minded,
mm-hmm.
they start doing the same thing, and it's positive. So DAPSAC has a lot of programs, and then they also have grants for the ones that really don't have the money for it. Sometimes it's just putting the time in.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, like Miss Kathy, she takes the kids during the break. She takes them to the movies. She takes them skating. It's not just always the book and the pen and the paper, but it's
mm-hmm.
other activities. So they know that they are being rewarded. She takes them to Sunday school, church on Sundays. So, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
we have
yes.
to come Mm-hmm. Right. We have to come together, and parents have to start having a club in the school with other parents where every you can start looking out for each other's kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You might have to work during the day, and that one parent might be off. They might volunteer at the school. But guess what? Mm-hmm. If somebody knows that you're volunteering at the school or somebody volunteered at the school, they're not likely to act up. And then also the teachers will have a different insight and viewpoint to know that, hey, somebody watching me as well, too. Because if you look at it, we're all human beings and we all make mistakes. So, you know, accountability goes both ways. So, you know, those that's food
for thought. I like that. I like that audio because, you know, most of these kids have phones now, so we have to kind of gear them and show them how to find that Bible on audio and give them an assignment to start looking and listening to the Bible because they can really get lost in those phones on the wrong subjects and things. So that's a good idea. Yeah. And so, you know, I say we're going to be like Jehovah's Witnesses. We're going to get a list together that, you know, that we need a list of things like you were talking about, the DAP set and the different programs that they have and things going on. And we're going to go door to door and give them to the parents and just have a little conversation with them about what they can do with their youth in the summer and the spring and through the whole year. And just let them know, you know, that we need our kids to be well-rounded. You know, if they're listening, you know, they need encouraging too. So that's going to be something that I'm going to look into us being able to do to just go and start talking to the parents and so that they can, you know, really start getting in their minds that, okay, this is what we need to do to help our kids. We know you got to go to work and make money for them, but we have to start making sure that their education and their secular and their spiritual is tight. Okay, so good information. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, and another thing I wanted to do is start announcing the successes of our young people as far as their grades and if they're getting good grades. We want to announce them on the show. And we want to announce them on the show and just tell some of the things that they're doing. We have some young people that was going to come on that's, you know, that are A students and, you know, their parents are taking them to these different activities. And they're so busy, they don't have time to come on the show. But we're going to get them one day. We got Lakeem, Rebecca, you want to talk about that young man as an expert swimmer?
Rakeem Williams is my husband's godson, and he's a swimmer. And he was in Indiana last weekend at an all-star function where it was like a camp. He increased his time by more than a few seconds. And he is enjoying his swim activities and is a successful swimmer. And he's been swimming since he was 4 or 6, something like that.
Wow.
And he's on track to
become. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say he's on track to be get in the Olympics. So we're looking forward to seeing how far he'll take that.
Somebody right at our fingertips. Isn't that beautiful? I love it.
Oh,
yes, success. That's just great. At 4 years old, I like that. I'm going to start little man and my little pooper, Javon. He's going to go swimming. and take swimming lessons. I just can't wait to see him because he's always in the tub trying to drown himself. So, so those are things you have to watch, you know, when they're not afraid to go up under the water in the bathtub, drinking all the water. Those are the things, those are talents and gifts, you know. So we're going to get that little guy busy in the water in the pool. So I can't wait for that. So if you have somebody that you want to call out and success, and just, I mean, that is great for that young man to be. So he's going to go, like you say, to the Olympics one day. Somebody invested in him a long time ago. Their investment is going to pay off one day. Love it. Love it. So if everybody can get that mindset as far as investing in your baby early and young and knowing that you're going to have a reward later on, man. Baby and everything. Okay. Pastor, are you somewhere around there? We took up all his time, but that's cool. Okay, let me see. Where's our awesome old? Hello, hello. Awesome old. Hey.
Hey, how's everybody doing this evening?
Just wonderful, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's good hearing Rebecca, good hearing Jackie, and to all the other hosts, you know, Shania and young Rip Ron, hey, Jacob, amen.
Yes.
Yeah, a really good discussion, as usual. Tonight the topic is well-rounded young men. That is so important, you know. You've heard me say it over and over where the two have to come together. You know, getting our young folks involved in a lot of different things. When I was coming up, my father had us to do a lot of different things. And he would always, when we would complain, he would always tell us why he's doing this. So we would know how to do something, be able to take care of ourselves when we get older. And then it was something else. We learned how to lay tile on the floor. Back in the day, it wasn't peel and stick. You literally had to, like, scrape the floor and then get that dust all up, get every bit of it up, then take this black tar type stuff with this trowel and then put it on the floor, then actually put the tile down. He also taught us how to hang ceilings, taught us how to work on cars. I learned small engine repair, tearing up his lawnmower. never did perfect that skill. But, yeah, being well-rounded helps our youth to be more marketable, for one thing. I mean, you don't want to be labeled jack-of-all-trades. You definitely don't want that, you know, good in a lot of things but perfect in none. So you really want to be well-rounded in the sense that you're proficient at this. When I was studying William Tyndale, it was said about him that he spoke 8 different languages, and he was so adept at them, so good at speaking them, that you couldn't tell when he spoke any other language. You would think it was his native language, okay? And a lot of the people that I studied throughout history were the same way. When they were coming up as young folk, they were exposed to a lot of different things, and all of those things came to bear on who they became when they were grown, when they grew up, and they were out there on their own. And we see it over and over in the Bible. I mean, you know, when you look at these people, you know, you got to wonder, what kind of father and mother did Noah have? How was he skilled enough? How was he so skilled in the use of tools, okay, and the gathering of resources to be able to build a ship? I mean, God didn't have to give him the skill to do it. He gave him the measurement, okay, but he had to have the skill to do what God was saying. And so that was already there. There were some people in the Bible who the Lord put the Holy Spirit on, I think around Exodus 33, 37, somewhere between there. Two guys, Aholiel and Bezalel, Aholiab and Bezalel. The Lord put the Spirit on them to heighten the use of the skills they already had. And so we do our youth a great service when we expose them to a lot of different things. They might find their love for life. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, I started doing this when I was this age. You got to wonder, what kind of parents did they have? Were they exposing them to this, exposing them to that, allowing them to experiment here and there to see what they like? You know, again, with myself, I was exposed to auto mechanics. I was exposed to plumbing. I was exposed to being an electrician. And for a while, I never did get it. Me and the electrical thing didn't quite work out. Things started sparking. I kind of figured that's not for me. Okay. Just recently had an electrician in my house, and we've had an electrical problem for years. Turns out, it all traced back to the thing that I installed. And so me and electrical stuff don't work. But the mechanic part, well, that took off. That took off. And then the mechanic part, even if I was unemployed, I could make money in the driveway doing people's brakes. I could go over their house and do their brakes. So do their brakes or so many other things on a car. Okay. But then my father also exposed us when we were very young to agriculture. They had a lot over on 18th Street, and we would go over there every single summer and plow it up. We were so thankful to God when they finally got a rotor tiller, you know, because before that, they would put all us boys and girls out there with spade shovels and trowels and hose and everything else, and we would plow it, turn it over. Then somebody would come through and break up what we turned over, and then somebody would come and make rows, and then somebody would come and put seeds. So, and we were taught how to cut the grass, how to rake the leaves, how to trim the hedges, and all that good stuff. Okay, so when I grew up, I did the auto mechanics thing. I went to school to perfect the skill in 1980. I believe it was 1980. And then I worked as a mechanic for years. And then, you know, I kind of got tired of it. And then I tried a bunch of other different things that I thought I might like putting in underground sprinkler systems. I did that for a while. I worked with the Wayne County Drain Commission. I did that for a while. I worked at Ford Motor Company for a bunch of years, did that for a while. And then I became an agronomist, something I thought I would never be. But because my father had taught us landscaping, okay, the hard way, but he would pay us for that because apparently that was above mopping the floor, cleaning the bathroom, washing the dishes, that kind of stuff. So you could get paid for big landscaping jobs. Okay, and so that's what I became, a licensed pesticide, integrated pesticide management applicator. That's what I was for 25 years. Well, I did the business for 25 years. I worked for Chemlon for 3.5 years. That's where I picked up, honed the skill at. So a lot of the things that my father just showed us, I became to understand why we were doing those things. So you find people throughout the Bible who were well-rounded, and it suited them well later on in their life. We talked about Noah. When you look at these people's lives and you look at them real close, you see, and you have to ask the question, what kind of parent did they have? Or whoever was doing the parenting, or whoever was co-parenting, okay? Who was it that put this, expose them to this skill so that later on they could become a shipbuilder, so they could become the founder of a nation, so they could become the father of 12 children who become 12 tribes. One of your sons goes to Egypt and runs it. Now look at Joseph. You're talking about well-rounded. I mean, he had skills where he could run Potiphar's house as chief steward. Okay, then his wife, you know, did that thing, and now he got in a little bit of trouble. He got to go to jail for 13 mm-hmm. years for doing nothing, really. But then mm-hmm. now he's administrating the jail. That's totally different from being steward over a house versus being warden of a prison. And he goes from being warden of a prison to prime minister of Egypt. That is Joseph came to understand it like this. What his brothers did for evil, God meant it for good. But you have to understand that you look at what God gave him, the dream interpretations, miracles. But having administrative skills, those were taught to him by his parents, his mother and his father and all the rest of that crowd that he grew up in. So you can go all the way through the Bible. You know, my wife and I have been doing just that. I have the Bible on DVD. It's what Jackie was talking about. Expose mm-hmm. them to the word on DVD, something first like that, especially if you want to teach them how to read without teaching them how to read. Because I have one Bible that the words pop up and they read them. And so they can follow along and increase their vocabulary without even knowing they're being taught and increasing their vocabulary and learning the Bible at the same time. But these are like movies of the life. We've watched Abraham, then we watched Jacob, then we watched Joseph. And then we watch Moses. Then we watch Samson and Delilah. Then just the other day we watched David. And we're going to watch Solomon. And we're going to leave Solomon and go to Esther. And then, of course, that brings you to the end of the Bible, right? And then we're going to cross over into the New Testament and start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all on DVD. All on DVD. You just sit there and watch it. It's played out like a movie. Only the Bible is the script. Mm-hmm. And see, that way you can remember a movie. you know, mm-hmm. and you get a visual of what it was like for them at that time. All that walking, they did a lot of walking. And they lived some real hard lives, but they didn't know about the modern things that we have today. So for them, they probably thought they were living modern lives. They didn't see it like we would see it today. But they lived some really hard lives. Okay? But as you go through the Bible, we're looking at these different people that I named, and you can see, you can look at David's youth and clearly see how being a shepherd prepared him for being a king. It gave him skills when he was a shepherd, he had to learn how to protect the sheep from lions and bears. And he testified himself that when he was keeping his father's sheep, when they thought he couldn't fight Goliath, that he killed a lion and a bear. So he also learned courage out there, right? And so now a shepherd would have a rod. It was studded with nails or a club, okay, for protection. And he would have a staff, one end with a hook and one end with a gold or a sharp point to keep the sheep in line or rescue them from a high place or fall over the side of a cliff, okay, to get them back up. And he would have a sling. And so those are the things that he used as a shepherd. And that same courage he used to kill the lion and the bear is the same courage he used to kill Goliath with the weapons that a shepherd would normally have. So you can clearly see, if you look real close at David's upbringing, you can clearly see how it paid off big time and helped to prepare him to become king. And as we were watching yesterday, as we were watching David, we saw Solomon. Solomon's coming up. And then the Lord let David know that Solomon was going to be the one to build the temple. And so now we look at David pouring into Solomon as a young boy. So when Solomon grows up, he'll be well-rounded and ready to be king. You look at Esther, same thing. Parents died, we don't know how, but she's being raised by her cousin Mordecai. Whatever those parents put into her, whatever Mordecai put into her, she was well-rounded. And you can look at her life and see the difference between the spiritual and the natural. And you see that she was prepared to become queen of the Medo-Persian Empire, to be married to one of the most powerful men on earth. And then husband put so much faith in her that he allows her and her cousin Mordecai to run the kingdom. So pouring into our youth and exposing them to golf, to whatever, to expand their minds, to increase their imagination, okay, prepares them for the future. We don't know what God's going to do with them. I mean, do you seriously think Martin Luther King's parents knew he was going to grow up and become that guy? But they poured into him. And I guarantee you, when he came up, a lot of the things that were poured into him, like you keep saying, you keep telling us, if we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims of not helping them later. But what if we help them now? The other side is we won't be victims. We'll be beneficiaries.
Yes.
I mean, look at it. Joseph, he benefited his father. His father pouring into him paid off big time, because when that famine hit and everybody was dying from a scarcity of food, his son saved him. We have no idea. When you look at kids, when I look at Sarah with the little bits, when I look at you with Cat's kids, it could be, you have no idea who's in that crowd. Which one God's going to call out to be Rosa Parks? Which one God's going to call out to be, you know? But what we have to do is trust God with the future and get busy right now doing what we can to help prepare them for the future. If we want a better future for ourselves, then we ought to want a better future for them. Because if we're going to have a better future, they're it. If we're going to have the kind of retirement that we want, they're it. You know, folks who are retired, guess where their retirement checks come from? From these young people that work.
Generation before.
There was a deacon at our church. He used to see us out to work and say hi. And then he'll say, I'm going to go ahead and pull off now because I need y'all to keep on working. Because I got to keep getting my check. And once I retired, I knew what he was talking about. Retired folks get their checks from people who work and pay into Social Security. And so literally pouring into our youth now will definitely bless us on the other end, one way or another.
That's the truth. My goodness. Yes. And that made me think about something. Yesterday we were out with my brother for his birthday, and so we took a picture. And then when I saw that picture, I said, ooh, we, y'all, we on deck. We that age now. We look like our uncles and aunts.
I know. I keep fun of myself. You know, whenever I say seniors, I'm like, you know, I guess I need to go look in the mirror and say that, because we're seniors.
Yes, we are. I'm seeing all my brothers and sisters looking like my uncles and us looking like our aunts. I'm like, we are them now.
Right.
We are them.
We have become the old people.
Yes, we have.
Literally the old
people. Well, I was laughing. I said, look at us. Ooh. Time is short and it is running. It is running so fast. So we really have to get busy. We have lots and lots of work to do.
Yeah, I heard you say that time is running out, and you're right.
Oh, man.
I remember when my wife and I, in this house, we were taking pictures of my grandchildren. They were sitting on the couch, and, you know, this is Dion's kids, and now my grandchildren were over here with their children. I'm like, wow, this boy who sat on this couch when he was a baby, okay, couldn't even stand up or walk, just a baby. Now he's sitting here, a grown man, with two daughters. But they were something else.
Wow.
They came over Sunday, and I'm telling you, they just stayed. I'm like, Jesus, are they moving in? The kids fell in love with she because you know how she do, right? They got in that kitchen and started getting popcorn and juice and all
nice
this.
Nice and quiet.
And then she had a bag of toys for each one of them, a couple of bags.
Oh, my goodness.
So now, you know, they was playing with all their toys and things, but, yeah. But, you know, that's it.
That's good, Pastor. I'm glad I hope they come over again next Sunday.
See, that's what you. I thought about this. This is cat's fault. This is that black rat block. So, What are you doing?
That's right.
I was like, Jesus, get these kids out of my house. He's like, no. What
kids
are you doing?
Come on over.
they had a ball too. One is two and one is four, and you should see them interact with one another.
That's cool. That's the next generation.
It is.
Growing up fast.
The two-year-old, the two-year-old talk like the four-year-old. Like, when did two-year-olds start talking like that?
You know what I mean?
And talk about terrible, too. She's so cute and adorable. As soon as she does something wrong and you talk just a little harsh to her, she runs straight to daddy and just hug him and then start doing the same thing all over again. I'm like, you know.
They are busy already.
Yeah, they are.
So cute. They just so cute. And they say the darnest things, like you said. I'm hating that I don't have the video camera rolling because, boy, they say and do some funny, crazy things. I'm like, man, I need to capture that.
I mean, I know the things she was saying. I'm like, she's two and talk like that? I mean, with sense, it's not like she don't know what she's saying. She literally can be in the conversation. I'm like, you're two. But I guess they have so
good.
Many
these
different
are next
things.
Presidents and our next professional people. Love it. That's why they say encourage them and let them be curious.
Yeah.
Let them be
and
curious.
Expose them to it. You know, I look back over my life, I know that a lot of the things that we thought we were sneaking and doing, my father was, they knew about it. But it was something that was expanding us. So they let that happen. The crazy stuff, they told us about that. But the certain things, they would allow us to do it because it was expanding us. Like me, thinking I was stealing Dr. Seuss books because it said, bill me later. And I kept ordering them books and checking bill me later. They kept sending me books, and I'm like, these people stupid. But no, my mother and them were paying for the books. They were just glad I was reading. But I thought I was stealing them, so it kind of killed my joy, but
Right.
I did learn how to read.
We think they don't know. They know everything. But this is nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun. I guess I should have said put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. These people are not just sending you these books. Somebody's paying for them. They're not crazy.
Right.
But I love Dr. Seuss and, you know. Then I got hooked on Columbia House Records, and I started ordering a bunch of 8-track tapes, and same thing. My father was glad I was into music, so he was paying for it.
Okay.
I thought I was ripping them off again.
Being outgoing.
Right. and he encouraged that stuff.
Yeah. I notice young people, they are young parents, they want the kids to sit down all the time. Sit down. Stop that. Sit down. I'm like, boys ain't going to sit down.
No, they're not. Kids ain't going to sit down.
They're not
they don't get
sit
tired.
Down, right? they don't. Let them tear it up. Just let them be.
They run everywhere they go, and they jump.
Right.
And and when they fall out, they fall out. And
they
get back
out.
Up.
That's
once
it.
They get reoriented after they wake up, they right back at
it. Yeah. I love to hear the pitty-patty feet running around where it might aggravate somebody else. They aggravate the mama, but I'm like, I like his feet running.
Yeah,
as
long as they're not hurting themselves, let them go.
He hurt himself all the time, but they ain't going to stop running. But I like to hear that running, the feet pat, because they little feet. I like those little feet.
Little baby feet, I know.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
They're running real fast, and it's a funny sound. I like that sound, so. But it aggravates the mom. I'm like, okay, go to bed somewhere.
Right.
My little man, he saw me getting ready for work. And he said, told me last night, he said, get in that bed and go sleep. he told me to go to bed, get in the bed and lay down or something like that. Because I was leaving. He didn't want me to leave. Get in the bed and lay down.
Go to sleep. Yeah, they learn quick.
Yeah, I just cracked up. I said, well, I got to go, man. Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, that's our future. So we got to love them and send them on their way. That's what we have to do. We have to love them and send them on their way. We can't keep them. Yeah, they're going to grow up. And then they grow up and they still with you. You're going to be like, okay, why are you still here? So
exactly.
Better give them what they need or they're going to be around you forever. Not that. All right. Good deal. Good show, ladies. Good show. Good message, Pastor O. Always appreciate it. It's good. It's always something to relate in the Bible, and I love that part. I like that beneficiary of helping. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another way to put it.
In school, they told us the story about the lion who had a thorn in his paw. And then the monkey came and pulled the thorn out the lion's paw.
Right.
And then one day the monkey was in trouble being attacked by some other animal and the lion showed up. And the lion helped the monkey out. Well, no, the lion was looked like he was going to attack the monkey. But then the lion remembered it was the monkey who pulled the thorn out of his foot. And, of course, he didn't devour the monkey. The moral of the story was kindness now pays off later.
Mm-hmm. It does.
You know,
Yeah.
It pays now and later.
Now and later. It does. Yes, it does.
People are still talking about the kindness of Jesus when he fed them 5,000. They're still talking about his kindness when he fed the 4,000. They're still talking about how he had compassion on them and healed as many people as they brought to him.
Mm. Yeah. And that with Terrence's, what did he say, from the heart?
Share.
That's going to bring us back. Share the heart.
Share your heart ministry.
Yes. It's going to get us right back to harder the matter of things. So, yeah, I look forward to that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go to bed. What you got going on tomorrow, Saturday worship service?
Yep, Saturday worship service at 10 a.m. Pastor Terrence Tate going to be bringing the word. And then Sunday, regular Sunday school, Pastor Janice Tate will be teaching. And worship service at 10 a.m., I will be preaching part two, God's plan for life and family. If we get into God's plan for life, or at least find out what it is, then we can order our steps according to his word, according to his plan, and life will go a lot smoother. Okay, so that's what we're going to be preaching on Sunday. And by around the way announcement, we went on Zoom with the Wednesday night Bible class where we're going back to Blog Talk Radio. One of the good things, like Rebecca likes, background noise on Zoom was easier to control. But anyway, we'll just have to fight it because some folks were having trouble getting in and all that stuff. So we're just going to go right back to Blog Talk Radio. But if we have a problem, just keep the Zoom info. It stays good all year. Just keep it, and we'll be on Zoom so that way we don't miss a beat. It'll be the backup. BTR, regular call in at 6 p.m., that's going to be the primary.
Okay. Yeah, it was pretty good. Like you said, it'll be our backup. So if you don't have a church service to go to, tune in tomorrow, same number you call in to get to this show. You could call in tomorrow at 10 o'clock for the Saturday morning worship service, and then Sunday, Run of Christ Ministries on Auto Drive and E-Course. What's that,
275-275-0085
Auto Drive. Come and hear about God's plan for life and family. You get God's plan for that, man. You got a good path to go on. Yes. So.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the single Christian.
The single Christian.
You get the single Christian together, then you get the married Christian.
All right. He got a plan. Got a plan for all our lives. So come if you don't have anywhere to go, then come to Sunday and hear about God's plan for life and family. I'm looking forward to that. Okay. All right. Is that it? Everybody good? And good show. We'll see you next Friday, same time, different topic, well, same topic. Enjoy it, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and all your comments and all your good facts. And just have a good night. You good, Pastor O?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Jackie. Thank you, Ms. Johnson. And Terrence and all the other listeners. All right. We got work to do.